Hello and welcome back to yet another episode of Living Fullness. This will be the last episode of 2020.
Oh my gosh.
Exciting time.
Very exciting. Yeah.
How are you holding up, Padre?
Yeah, going all right. Going all right. The new year is upon us. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing really well too. I'm excited. We had a moment of decorating before we started, which was kind of like, oh yes, that's right. This is happening.
Yep.
Super exciting times. So we are going to just take another chilled episode again this week. For those of you who listened to our Christmas episode, you will know exactly what we're talking about.
Fairly chilled.
Fairly chilled. Yep. We will have a couple of questions in here today that we'll talk a little bit more practically in terms of, you know, New Year's resolutions and things like that. But for the most part, we'll try and keep it as relaxed as possible.
Yeah.
So question number one. Global pandemic.
Aye.
Yeah, that particular phrase that shall not be named.
don't you love it how Cena starts with a chill, followed by so global pandemic. It's
yeah, okay, maybe I didn't think that one through.
No.
This is how we roll.
It is. That's right.
This is how we roll. No, but in all seriousness, the global pandemic has been front and center of our lives across the world. And though it's not a laughing matter, we try to take what we can out of what has been a very strange and unusual and foreign thing to live through. So what kind of impact has that actually had on your 2020, Padre?
It's been rather incredible. I mean, we went to lockdown, and there was seriousness in it. You know, it was frightening.
Yeah,
in many ways, it was frightening. You couldn't leave your house. You couldn't, travel to the store except to get necessities. It was in 50 years' time, when the new generation of priests are coming through, you know, I'll be able to tell them about the pandemic years of 2020. You know, it was incredible. But for all the fear that was involved, what I'll also be able to tell those clerics, those priests in 50 years' time, those newbies, is the incredible brilliance that I got to bear witness. Clerical creativity.
Their
creativity. We had one priest, and I'm going to name Father Thomas Casanova of Ashmont Parish. He got himself a van and sort of tore the inside out of it and turned it into a mobile altar and said mass out the front of people's places. I mean, that's just creativity central right there, you know. And others who would, you know, offer to go around and anoint people or offer to go around and hear confessions or... It was incredible to watch the creativity online
services
and it was masses and online adoration even where you know, even though you couldn't be there, it's not the same as being there, but it's an opportunity to raise your mind and heart to God in a difficult period of time. I mean, some of the most incredible initiatives during that time of just pastoral zeal, that was awesome. So a real time of great hope. For all the fear that might have been there, the hope trumped it all the way. Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, look, I, like many, I think had a lot of hopes for 2020. You know, even it has a ring to it, right? 2020, year for things to happen. Yeah. And given the year that I'd had in 2019, which was huge, I was anticipating a lot of great opportunities that would come my way in 2020, and I was carving way for them and clearing my schedule for things, you know. And then this thing happened, which was like, whoa, what is this? This is completely foreign, not just to me, but, you know, to my parents. They've not lived through this. And it was just like, okay, what does this mean? Everyone's in the same boat. And it was very, just strange. Strange is the only word I can sort of use to describe it, because I've never felt something like this, where I know that every person on the planet is impacted. In a very similar way.
Yep.
That is such a strange thing to know.
Incredible. Absolutely
incredible. The entire globe is facing this thing together.
Yeah.
So that was very strange. But also this was the year that helped me get back to my roots. So because all of those things that I thought was going to take up my 2020 weren't there, it gave me an opportunity to really just remove a lot of things and come back to the basics. You know, who am I at the end of the day without all of these other things that take up my time that I love, but that take up a lot of my time? And I know that my relationship with my house mum grew. It became a lot stronger during the pandemic as well, which was really awesome. It's such a treasure. And those things only sort of happened because of the situation that we were in. But also the joy that I found as a Christian in amidst the pandemic there was a very stark contrast between what I was experiencing and what some of my Christian friends were experiencing, as opposed to the rest of the world that we were seeing, where there was a lot of, like you said, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of confusion, and a lot of pointing fingers, and there was a lot of nastiness that was coming out. And good Christians started to fall into these traps of sort of engaging in those conversations, which was really heartbreaking to see. And then came out this joy from a whole bunch of people, from Christians who would sort of say, well, hang on, like let's not forget who we are here. Like in amongst all of this is where we need to be examples of hope and of joy, because these are circumstantial. Like this is just situational. This is not where our eyes and hearts need to be set. That was really profound. But then also things like all the dance videos that started to come out.
Yeah.
With people just putting a little bit of joy out there and a bit of positivity out there. And again, on a international level.
Yes.
That was really cool too.
Yeah, absolutely. So highlights of 2020.
So what I'd already said, 2019 was huge. So 2020 has given me an opportunity to set new routine. That's been really fruitful. And also to think about where my dreams are at, what types of dreams do I actually want to pursue. Going deeper in relationship with God again, because of what has transpired, it allowed me to spend more quality time with him in a very different way to what I'm used to, it did give me that opportunity to do that, which has been really good. It's just added a different layer to my relationship with him now, which has been really, really wonderful. But also things like in my career, I've had to think about other ways of serving the people that are my clients. And so one of the things I was able to come out with was to create a teen support group, you know, online. That was something that was a huge endeavor, to be trained by the right people in Sydney, again, online, and then to have to deliver it online and then do follow up with those clients. You know, that was huge for me as well. And then, of course, the podcast has been another big endeavor. And we expanded on the Virtue Ministry team as well, which has been really awesome too.
Cool.
What about you, Padre? Highlights of 2020?
Getting back into study.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely been a highlight. 2019 was kind of a bit of a break. You know, the previous institute I was at had closed. So 2019 was you know what? I could use a break. So that works for me. And then 2020, it's like back into it. All right, here we go. And so that's actually, it has been a highlight. Also, being able to minister in COVID times and have to find creative ways of bringing Christ to people, that was really awesome. It was really awesome. We also got this year a new bishop. Not that I think you're watching Bishop Mark Edwards, but if you are, hi.
Of course.
And he's been a remarkable man, and he really helped us to, even though he came in on sort of the tail end of the worst of the pandemic, he still was helping us to figure out how we could best serve our people in the difficulty of COVID. That was huge. Having Australian first years. Having first years, you know, previously in previous years, I've had first years who are overseas born, and that's been an awesome challenge. It's been wonderful to engage in that. I've not had the challenge of having an entirely Australian, almost entirely Australian first year.
Oh.
And they're a different kind of student sure. to form. There's just different sure. there's different things at play, and that's been really exciting. Don't tell them that, but yeah, it's been really exciting.
Too bad if they're watching.
And of course this podcast adventure, which was meant to start out as a book, but if you've listened to the way that the pair of us talk, it's also how the pair of us write, and so it's a little bit different. It's
yeah.
You know, you have this normal talk over here, and then you've got sort of your
academic talk,
weird academic man talking, and it's
it yeah. was hard.
It was very difficult. So Stina came up with the idea of, why don't we turn this into a podcast? What a good idea. Mm. And then COVID happened. So it's a little bit later than we intended, but you know.
Nah, all in its good time.
That's right. That's right.
So a typical question for any New Year's episode of any kind is resolutions. Any resolutions that you had this year, Padre, that you kept?
Yes. I in particular, working on my patience. I still have a ways to go.
Sure.
But I think I've actually improved a smidge this year. That's so yeah, I had that resolution at the beginning of this year that patience was going to be something for me to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's been like this little tiny creep forward.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Tiny little creep.
Doesn't matter how big or small, as long as you're moving forward.
That's right. So yeah.
Pretty cool.
How about for yourself?
Yeah, my initial resolutions was around dreaming again, just having hopes and dreams about moving forward and wanting to embrace every opportunity that came my way and wanting to be able to serve people within my community in a bigger and better way than the previous year. But obviously with COVID, that made my resolutions take a turn. So I had to rethink what was actually tangible and achievable, and that's where my focus then became on where I wanted to set my heart and my eyes, and that was to just be more intentional about my relationship
sure.
with God.
Sure.
So that became more of my focus for 2020. Mm. But I think what's important to talk about too when it comes to resolutions, especially if we're going to make resolutions for 2021, we need to make them things that are actually possible to achieve. There's no use in setting a resolution and then realizing at the end of the year, it sounded like a good idea in January.
Yeah.
Not so great now. Or it was great, but all these things happened and therefore I couldn't come through on it. And that was part of my issue with making the resolutions that I did, because, you know, things like saying, well, I want to take every opportunity I can and I want to be able to serve people. That's quite vague.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a decent dream, but it's quite vague. It's lacking a lot of specifics.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, of course, COVID would have still changed how that resolution turned out. But if I had set more specifics, I would have known exactly what needed to change instead of kind of going, oh, all those hopes and dreams are gone. Yeah, what am I going to do now?
For sure. Right?
So it's being just thinking about how we set our goals. And one of the best acronyms that I've come across when it comes to setting goals is setting SMART goals. So SMART, SMART goals. And each one stands for something. So S being for a very specific task or a very specific intention or activity or something, whatever it is that your goal is, make it very, very specific. Make it something that can actually be measured so you can actually see a change happening, not something vague. Something that can actually be achieved.
Yep.
Something that's realistic
and
something that is timely. So don't set yourself a task like, I'm going to change the world.
Yeah, sure.
Well, okay, that's fine. How are you going to change the world? Yeah. How will you know that you're changing the world? What kind of things will happen that give you the indicator that you've achieved your goal? Is it actually possible on this earth?
Yeah.
And when do you think this thing is going to happen by? So being very specific about it, because, you know, we all have the capacity to change the world in a small way.
That's right.
Yeah. But figure out what that way is.
Yeah.
Because you're still making an impact there.
One of the best ways I found to do what you were talking about there. So when I made my resolution to grow in patience, I had to tell someone about it. I told my spiritual director.
Yeah.
And so I said to my spiritual director, I want to grow in patience. And he goes, okay, well, what does that actually look like?
Mm.
What does it look like to grow in patience? Where are you impatient? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm impatient when I do this, and I'm impatient when I do that. And it's like, basically, I'm just always impatient. Yeah, so
I'm too impatient to even give you this list.
just picture everything. All right, well, how are you going to be patient in class? And how are you going to be patient when you're working with your students? And how are you going to be patient when you're, like, where are you most impatient? And then how are you going to change that? And then I'd meet up with him once a month. And the question that would often get asked is, so how are you going with patience? some months it would be, but then other months, actually, you know what? I've done really well this year. And at the end of the year, you can kind of look back and go, I'm not at the same spot that I was at when I began the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I'm master of patience.
Sure, sure.
But it's an increase. It's difference. A new skill has been learned to be more patient.
Definitely. That's a great one. Accountability.
Yeah.
And along with accountability, motivator as well. Mm. You know, where are you going to go for your motivation? Because the resolutions that we make in December, January, when we think, oh, yep, all of this heightened emotion and passion and excitement for 2021, and then that fades.
Yeah.
Emotions and passions, desires, like they don't last. They fade. Then what motivates you?
Yeah.
So exactly. Just knowing, you know, who are the people that you're going to go to, who will cheer you on, who will remind you why you're doing this.
Yeah.
Where will you go to find your motivation? You know, are there books that you read? Are there materials that you turn to? Is there something that you watch that sparked your motivation and gets you fired up? Is there music? Like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, where will you go when the motivation starts to run dry?
Yeah.
It's also important for setting and being able to achieve your resolutions.
This lady, wise.
So that then takes us to unexpected joy from the year.
Mm. I keep going back to this. COVID. COVID was actually a source of unexpected joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like no one expected the pandemic to be any source of joy. But all of a sudden, the Lord is working his goodness in the midst of this incredible insanity and tragedy. There he is, you know, working his goodness. And it's just, oh, all right, Lord, you know exactly what you're doing. Yeah.
It's a similar story for me too. I started learning different dance routines, started learning, I shouldn't call them routines, they're different steps, completely different style to what I'm used to. I'm a ballroom dancer, I don't do any other kind of dancing. So I decided to pick up on some shuffle moves, which was so much fun, really raises your heart rate pretty quick. So it was good for exercise as well, and it got me out in the sun. So tick, tick, tick. But then I decided, you know what, with all this negativity that's out there, I can see a lot of my friends on social media are pretty down in the dumps. You know, I'm just being an idiot out here dancing away. I'll just put up a video of me being stupid. The response was unexpected. Mm. I thought people were just going to have a laugh, but people really loved it. It gave them a bit of a joy, and it was a different side to me that a lot of them hadn't seen. Yeah, so, you know, I started getting messages of, oh, that just made my day, and this is so fun, please keep doing this. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I'm being an idiot. Why are you encouraging this? Okay, all right, we'll keep doing this.
Yep.
So I started sort of putting a bit of creativity into it and doing stupid things with chocolate and baking and I don't know what else I did, but, you know, random things. But it was that similar kind of thing, joy where I didn't anticipate I would find it.
Yeah. Awesome. In what ways did you grow emotionally, physically, or spiritually, or with others this year?
Learning to dance, this thing was new, so that was a physical thing. That was really good for exercise, not being able to dance ballroom dance anymore. That was really hard because that was my main form of physical exercise, and it's a type of exercise that needs a bit of space too. Mm. So not only did I not have the space to be able to dance, but it's also a partner dance. So not having a partner also made it harder, not impossible, but harder. And so having to pick up a different skill, trying to learn a different skill was definitely something that I did for my physical health.
Mm.
What about you, Padre?
Growing with others. One of the things I've learnt is to sort of a greater reliance on other people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Burns hallmark traits is, you know, sort of a very I can do it myself attitude.
Okay.
This year has given the opportunity for me to realize actually no man's an island,
mm-hmm.
and that goes doubly for any man in the priestly ministry. No man is an island, and you need help, assistance, and so it's this year has very much driven that home, that we can't just handle things on our own, that we do need to trust other people with tasks and with things that matter.
Yeah,
to be vulnerable.
Yeah. That's such a hard lesson to learn.
It is.
What about traditions? How do you welcome in the new year? Is there things that you do, places you go?
Every second year, we're at my sister's place.
Oh.
And we play charades. but it's a different kind of charades. It's not like movie, sound, all this sort of thing. It's just like you could just have any noun in front of you. Like you could have the word frisbee or pipe or cardboard or something like that in front of you. And you've got to find a way to act out this
random thing. Word.
Sometimes there's a verb in front of you and you're like, how do I do that? And it's not an easy verb. It's some, you know, some doing action that you're like, how do I know this is a doing thing, but how do I actually show that I'm doing that particular thing?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it's really lots of fun.
Yeah.
But then on every other year, it's normally just myself and mum and dad ringing in the new year, and I normally call up a couple of priest mates and go, what are you doing? And
What are you doing?
And yeah, that's pretty much it. How about yourself?
Yeah, I have a pretty chilled New Year's Eve as well. I don't think I have a staple thing that I do fairly early of the New Year's Eve, but as it's getting closer to midnight, I'll get ready to head out. I try to go out to wherever the fireworks are. And then I come back, I crack open a pear cider. Then I open up my joyful jar that I've been putting notes in all year.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that for a few years now, where as things happen throughout any given day, I will make a note of it in a little piece of paper and chuck it in the jar, and we'll read it at the end of the year or the beginning of the new year, just to remember all the blessings that have happened throughout the last year, which generally means I'm sitting there, you know, with cheese and crackers and a slider and tissues, laughing and crying over all the things that have been.
Yep.
So that is how I bring in the new year.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
So these are questions that we sort of looked at and went, there's a bit more depth to the questions, I suppose. Firstly, who is someone who can encourage you in your endeavors?
Is it cheating if I say God?
No.
Yes.
No, it's not cheating. It's not cheating.
I am done.
It's actually a really good answer.
Yes.
I can't say it's cheating. It's not.
Are there points for this game? No, it's
if there were, you just scored 1,000.
Woohoo.
All right. I actually accept that as an answer.
Oh, great.
I'm a priest. How can I not accept that as an answer? Would you like to elaborate on that?
I guess that's, you know, part of just growing in general and growing in relationship with God is just becoming that relationship, becoming more and more tangible. And so you start, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, you actually start recognizing that this isn't just some airy fairy relationship that's in the background, that's just like background noise that you tune into every now and then. It actually becomes part of your everyday. So part of learning and part of growing is just that strengthening of relationship, and that strengthening bond then becomes more and more obvious in its everyday.
Because I'm an insufferable pedant.
Now.
You know, God is a very good answer. He often works through others, though.
Sure. Good one. Well, in that case, it depends. It depends on what the endeavor is as to who I would turn to. I do have a group of close-knit friends that I turn to for certain people for different things.
Sure.
So there are certain women that I go to if I need particular counsel on something. If I am going through a really rough patch and I'm trying to work through something, I might turn to them. Or if I need particular prayers, there's one friend who is a phenomenal prayer, and just talking to her, you know, she's the type of person who will just say, "Can I just pray over you for a little bit?" You know, and that's it's kind of like, "Oh wow, really? Okay, it's quite powerful, and really special." So it really depends on what the endeavor is. Whereas I also have other people that I go to for things like, you know, business advice.
right. Yeah.
When it comes to making decisions for Virtue Ministry around where I want to go next,
I've got
people that I turn to for that. So it depends.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Second question. If your life was exclusively oriented towards your values, what would that be like?
These are hard questions.
I know.
I
feel like I got like the easy end of
this. Yeah. I'm going to change my questions for you. That's a hard question. Look, I think I'm not perfect. I'm not suggesting that I am. But I do make a conscious effort of trying to live according to my values and what I believe in. I do make a conscious effort of that. So I would like to be able to think that there isn't going to be too much change. I know there will be some because I'm sure I have not reflected on everything, but I would like to think that it wouldn't look too differently. And I know even just thinking about it, there are certain things that I couldn't change because they're out of my control. They don't align with my values, but they're not something that I have control over.
Sure,
so I can't change them.
Yep.
I might be able to choose a different set of circumstances or a different situation that might be part of it, but I can't actually change the issue itself that's present. So,
I hear you.
But there are some things that I could probably work around. They would fall in with some of my dreams, I suppose. So,
yep, cool.
Yeah, hopefully not different.
It's a really nice thing though to be able to say, hopefully not too different.
Yeah, like,
you know, if we're taking Christ seriously,
yeah,
and if we're at least we're at the point of striving to actually live those values out. And look, everyone's at a different point in their faith journey, and sometimes people are just beginning out and what they value isn't necessarily what is lived. So, you know, particularly in the beginning of a faith journey, sometimes those two things don't match up. But the hope is that as progress is actually made in faith, and one journeys closer towards Christ, that life and values sort of begin to sort of work together and in tandem, you know. So
Now, if I was to live my life exclusively and completely and only aligned with my values, I'd be perfect. So I'm not taking that question to mean that that's what it's asking.
Yeah,
I'm taking it to mean, you know, if I could choose in every moment and every circumstance of my life that which is aligned with my values in terms of the opportunities that are in front of me, then I would hope that my life wouldn't look too different. In the everyday decision making, I still make poor choices that aren't aligned with my values. In that sense, there would be some change that you would definitely see.
For sure.
My turn.
I was going to ask another question.
Yeah, no. You asked hard ones. Okay.
Sorry, not sorry.
No. What do you think your biggest risk will be in 2021?
Can I pass?
No. I didn't get to pass. I didn't know that was an option.
It's not. I just thought I'd try.
Nah.
Okay. The biggest risk I think that I'll be taking in 2021 is, I know that next year is in all likelihood, next year is my last year here at the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a year of looking to sort of wind things up.
Yep.
And I suppose a couple of programs that and a couple of things that I want to see if I can introduce and to really make a difference with.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably smaller level risks, but the greater risk is going to be that I'll be moving on to something new.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, it may be something that I don't necessarily think that I'm ready to to jump right into.
Mm-hmm.
There's I can't there's a lot that I can't say about that.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But it's as I hurtle towards that, I'm leaving what I know and what I've become comfortable with. But it seems to be the way that God has been sort of working with my priestly ministry is that he's like, okay, I'm going to chuck you into something that you have absolutely no experience in. Here you go on your merry way and you know, I'm with you. Okay, all right, fair enough. And then, oh, you're getting comfortable. Excellent. All right, we're going to shift you off somewhere over here. Enjoy, you know. And so it's as that comes, I know that it's going to be scary. Mm. And to say yes to the bishop and not argue with him or not say, oh, look, bishop, could you just XYZ insert plea here? you know, that I think will be my biggest risk, just to actually honour the promise of obedience that I made at my ordination, despite the fear that I have in what comes next.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Good answer. What is one change you could make to your lifestyle that would give you more peace? Oh,
definitely exercise. Exercise is one, though, that I know would make it a decent change.
Yeah.
I don't balk at that entirely. It would make a decent change. But
and bring you more peace.
And bring me more peace. So I was on retreat recently.
Mm.
The retreat, it was a week of intentional prayer.
Mm.
You know, and I guess sometimes people probably have the image of priests as, oh, well, they know how to pray all the time, man. That's like their job. They got it down pat. But the truth is, we struggle like everybody else, you know, and sometimes there are so many things in our day, and I know this for myself, there can be many things in my day that are vying for my time, and sometimes the temptation is to go, okay, I've got to see to these things, and you wind up engaging in activism, you know, just being active all the time without having this sort of spiritual life-giving grace that sort of is under all of that and motivating all of that and propelling it all forward. And so that's something that I know I've struggled with in the last year. Is just I've gone like a bull in a china shop, and it's been you know, very, very busy, and I haven't, prayer has happened, but it has not been as intentional as it should have been. So to make that change, you know, the retreat was just such an eye opener of actually this is what I'm like meant to be doing, man. This is intentional sitting down and really, you know, turning my heart and mind to the Lord, not just doing this because I know that I have to do it and it's part of my day, but doing it because it's essential that I have this relationship with Jesus if I'm going to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah.
So it's to bring me more peace, intentional prayer. Yeah.
That's a good one too. Hmm. You did well.
So did you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Your questions are much harder. Just saying. A truth, beauty, and goodness moment for the year.
For the year. This podcast.
Yeah, look, I should have gone first. That was mine.
Yeah, this has been incredible.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been not what we envisioned when we first started on this journey of this content. No, not
right.
at all what
that's
we
right.
what
right.
we thought we'd be doing. But where it has taken us and where it's gotten to, it's been incredible because it's given us an opportunity to dive deeper into this content that we've sat with.
Yeah. Yeah, it really
for some
has.
Time.
It really has.
And for me personally, it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to serve.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's something that I've craved. It's something that I wanted and desired for the year and struggled with. And then having found a way to do that through podcasting, through Virtue Ministry has been wonderful. Yeah. And then, you know, added on top of that, I get to do it with a friend. Like,
yeah, it's kind of win-win. It's pretty cool. It's win-win, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And, you know, before I committed to this, I had to go and ask my immediate superior, look, do you mind if I do this? So I went to my rector and said, you know, Father, this is what's been proposed. Do you mind if I do this? And he goes, like, as long as it doesn't impact on the rest of your duties, go ahead. You know, it sounds like a really good thing. So, you know, thank you, Father Thompson, for that. Yeah. That was you know, really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's clearly been just guided by the Lord, and I'm so glad.
Absolutely,
for that.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. hands down for that. Mm. So it's been an absolutely wonderful experience. Thank you to everyone who has watched our YouTube videos or listened on podcast through the podcast on one of the streaming platforms. For those of you who've contacted us and let us know how things have been for you guys, what your thoughts were, your questions were, they've been brilliant. Keep sending them in,
please,
to us. And we do have some more interesting and hot button topics that we're, now that we've finished a few weeks ago, that we finished the more of the base content that we wanted to be able to cover in order to discuss these hot topics thoroughly. Now that we've covered those, we're excited to get into those. So send in all your questions, fire them away.
It's going to be fun.
We'll do what we can, and we'll try and be as straightforward as we can as well. Yeah. But so that is sort of end of 2020.
I know, right?
Farewell.
Farewell 2020, that's right.
Bring on 2021.
Yeah, bring it on.
And what better way to do that than with prayer? Mm. So would you mind leading us in a closing prayer for the year, Padre?
Absolutely. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the year that has passed. And while it has been difficult in many ways, through the difficulty you have found in your goodness, ways to bring us joy and hope and love. You have never allowed the darkness to conquer your life-giving light. And for this we give you unreserved thanks and praise. We give you thanks for the ways that we have grown, and we give you thanks for the challenges that you've placed in front of us to facilitate and to lead us in that growth. We give you thanks for the friends that you've placed in our lives, for the relationships that you've assisted us in forming, and for the courage that you've helped us to grow in accepting new relationships and new opportunities. As we head into a new year, we ask that you assist us in growing in unity and in love, in faith and in hope. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and to never lose sight of the call that you give us to be holy as you are holy. Not that we can be perfect in this life, but that we might reach perfection in the next. Whatever resolutions that we make, may they always serve this greater good and this greater glory. And we ask that you send your blessings and protection, your angels and your saints, upon us in this new year. And we ask the Blessed Virgin Mary for her intercession, you might assist us in going to your Son and in growing closer to him throughout this new year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll see you in the new year. Until then, love and praise.
God bless you all.